James chapter 2. I thank God for my mom. I cannot imagine trying to raise four boys. And David probably and Josh probably think, I cannot imagine trying to raise two boys. So think about how special your mom is. Other than Jesus, she's the only one that knows you pretty good and still loves you. That's right. Amen. James chapter 2, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. We'll start reading in verse 20. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Rest of y'all, hurry up. James chapter 2, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was computed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by faith, but by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Here's the verse. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for another day, for your blessings. And, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, dear God, today as we try to preach this. Get us out of the way. God, I pray, God, you'd help us to realize, dear God, that you're in charge of everything, God. You're the one that we worship. You're the one that's calling all the shots, God. Have your hand on us. Bless our mothers, God. But touch everybody in this building right now. And, God, whatever's done, we'll make sure you get all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on Rahab today. And just to let you know, and I'll probably mention this, there's four ladies that's mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. I'm going to preach about three of them today, and I'll mention the other one briefly. But Rahab is one of these ladies. But I want to mention by introduction, one of the other ladies is named Tamar. I'm not going to ask you to pick your hand up or raise your hand because half of y'all ain't got a clue who Tamar is. And I'm going to say this, that's a shame when you're in church. We ought to know these things. But Tamar, she is found in Genesis chapter 38. She's found in Ruth chapter 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, and also in Matthew chapter 1. Tamar was a Canaanite. That means she was not a Jew. She was not of the Hebrew lineage. So she married one of Judah's sons. His name was Ur, and he did something that God didn't like, so God killed him. And as in the times, and David's going to know this, and some of you others, but as in those times, the Bible says that if a brother died, then the other brother was to marry that woman and raise up a child to that brother that died. So Ur died, and his brother Onan, Judah, gave Onan to Tamar, Tamar to Onan, to raise up a child to the one that had died. Well, the Bible says that he didn't do what he was supposed to, so God killed him. So now here Tamar is. She has had two of the boys that died. Judah basically tells her, I don't have another child of marrying age. I've got one other child that's young. He said, if you'll go back to your mom and dad's house and you stay with your dad, when this other child gets old enough, I'll let you marry him and you'll be able to have a baby. Well, he broke his promise. And his wife died. So Tamar hears about his wife dying, hears about that the other child is of age now, is a grown man. And Judah is lonely because his wife has died. So Tamar gets this idea. She dresses herself up as a harlot. She goes out and sets in the way. And when Judah comes by, Judah sees her, but she's covered up. She's got a mask on, so he don't know who she is. And he basically comes to her and wants to go with her. And she says, what will you give me? And he said, I'll give you one of the kids of the goats. She said, well, what kind of token will you give me until then? So I think he gives her a signet and a bracelet or a piece of jewelry. Well, they go through the act. He leaves. She winds up pregnant, which was what she wanted to start with. That's what she was trying to raise a child. Well, it gets back to Judah that your daughter-in-law that's living at her dad's house is with child. He said, send for her because we're going to burn her because she has played the whore. That's what the Bible says. Well, when they get back, she said, and basically what she says, at the hand of these gifts is the father of my child. So she presents these gifts to Judah, and Judah looks and figures out what's going on. He says, she's more righteous than I am. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't get no better than that on the young and the restless. And she's in the line of Jesus. What about Bathsheba? We all know the story of King David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was born to a good family, a God-fearing family, a family that worked under King David. Bathsheba has the lineage. She is a Jew. She is full-blooded. She is married to one of David's mighty men. We would call that the secret service of the king at that time. The Bible says that David's men are out fighting a war and David stays home. Bathsheba, I'm trying to be good. Bathsheba takes it upon herself. She's going to go out on the rooftop and take a bath. She knew where the king lived.
Yeah. That's
right. I'm going to just go ahead and throw this out there. Ladies, be careful how you dress.
That's right.
Be careful. King David looks off and he sees Bathsheba. He inquires about her. He sends for her. She comes to his house. We never hear in the Bible anywhere, Brother Skip, about her protesting this. They lay together. The Bible says that she goes back home. In a matter of time, the Bible says that she figures out she's with child. She calls King David. She says, I'm with child. And now King David's got to scramble around. And they're trying to figure out what to do. Don't you know there was some discussion with her and him behind closed doors? What in the world are we going to do about this? Everybody's going to know what's going on. So King David calls for Uriah, her husband, to come back from the battle. He says, well, if I can bring him back from the battle, he'll lay with his wife and everything will be all right. They'll think it's his child. But Uriah's a better man than David is. Uriah says, I can't do that. All my friends and all the army out there, the Ark of the Covenant is out there. They're fighting the battle. I'm not going down to my wife's house. So David gets Uriah drunk. And Uriah, as a drunk man, is still better than David. So we know the story. David winds up putting Uriah on the forefront of the battle. Alan, and Uriah dies. Bathsheba's got a hand in that. And she's in the lineage of Jesus. What I want to preach about this morning is good mothers aren't perfect. So I'm going to tell all you ladies, you ain't got to be perfect to be a good mama. Lord knows my mama, I had a great mama. I love my mama. She's a great lady. She ain't perfect. But I want to just look at Rahab. We know what the Bible says about Rahab. The Bible talks about Rahab. Let's look at her sin first. The Bible says that four times in the Bible, four times in the Word of God, the Bible calls Rahab a harlot. The word harlot comes from the Greek word to commit adultery. It's usually of the female. It's left often or simply like fornication. It's rarely or never involuntary. In other words, this is not talking about somebody that is raped. Don't shout me down. It's a harlot. That's exactly what the Bible says it is. Amen. That's her sin. She was not a good woman. Some people try to claim, Brother David, that she was an innkeeper. Some people try to claim that she was not a harlot. But the Bible says, the Bible don't sugarcoat nothing. And if the Bible don't sugarcoat it, why in the world are we trying to sugarcoat stuff? The Bible calls her a harlot. That's exactly what she was. Some don't like the idea of these women being in the lineage of Jesus, but you ain't God. Some people don't like the idea of people getting saved, coming to church and changing their life around and getting jobs in the church. I'm going to tell you something. If y'all knew everything about me and you knew everything about your deacon board, you probably wouldn't want us serving you. But thank God for grace. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. The Bible tells us about her sin. If the Bible don't make no apologies, you and I are not making any apologies about it. Her sin was great. Let's look at her scheme now. Let's look what her plan. Somehow she learns about the nation of Israel. We don't know. The Bible don't go in detail and tell us about the nation of Israel, how she learned about this. But in Joshua chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given thee the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man because of the Lord your God. He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So her sin was great. She was not raised in church. She was not raised to be a Jew. Her sin was great. But somehow or another, she heard about the God of Israel. Everybody in here wasn't raised in church. I was raised in church. That's all I've ever known my whole life. I was raised in church. My kids were raised in church. But I'm just telling you, everybody in here, Matt was raised in church. Everybody, David was raised in church. We weren't all raised in church. Some of us didn't know what church was until you got invited and Jesus come into your heart. Some of us didn't know what Sunday school was. It's amazing that I talk to people in Lancaster, South Carolina that have no clue about who Jesus is. But the Bible says, for the invisible things of God are clearly seen from creation. Somehow or another, Gavin, somehow or another, this woman that was a harlot, somehow or another, this woman that had her house and her abide was in the walls of the city, somehow or another, this woman that had that great sin had heard about Jesus and heard about the God of Israel. Somebody's here today. You've heard about it, but you're not living it. She had a plan. She had a plan. She knew destruction was coming. She knew that the end was coming. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token that you will save my father alive and my mother and all my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. What happened was Joshua sends out two spies to spy out this city. They go into the city. They go into her house. She knows who they are. The Bible says she hid them in the upper chamber, and she hid them under the flax. And when the people of the city, when the king of the city comes in, she told them, says, they're gone. They've already took off. Well, I don't know where they've gone. And they chased after them, but she hid. She had a plan. Some of y'all come here this morning, you didn't have a plan about getting saved. Some of y'all come here this morning, you just wanted to come to be with your mama. You just wanted to come because it's Mother's Day. But I'm telling you right now, you might not have a plan this morning, but Jesus has a plan this morning, amen. You are not here by accident this morning. You are here by divine appointment. And I'm telling you right now, hey, the end is coming, destruction is coming, and you need to be ready. Look at her sacrifice. Her sin was great. She had a scheme. She had a plan. But look at her sacrifice. She turned her back on everything she had ever known, David. She turned her back on all her people. When she turned her back on her former life, when she hid those two spies, she doomed that city. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? You ain't turned your back on your former life yet. Wow. You know what's wrong with a lot of people in church? You ain't turned your back on your former life yet. You're still trying to hang on to some of this other stuff. Her sacrifice was, she knew destruction was coming. She knew that the end was coming. So she was going to do what she needed to do to save her family. And so she did. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah. Let me tell you something, folks. We either saved or lost. Amen. If you want to go to heaven this morning, there are going to be some sacrifices. We just can't run with, you can't run with the world and think you're going to go to heaven. There are going to be some sacrifices. She made some sacrifices. Now let's look at her salvation. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 2, she is talking, she is talking to the spies. Then she let them down by a cord through a window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get thee to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide you there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. Then the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. She was saved just like you and I have to be saved. That scarlet line right there, that scarlet rope that they let out of the window is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. And it runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. She was saved by the blood, Wes. You and I are saved by the blood. She was saved because she trusted in somebody else other than herself. She was trusting in the God of Israel. And she was saved. Let me ask you a question, Mama. I'm of the persuasion that this is how I believe that when the rapture takes place, all these little kids that's not of age of accountability and don't know no sin, they're going. How many of you mamas are going with them? How many of you daddies are going with them? Her salvation was she trusted in the God of Israel. Good mamas ain't got to be perfect. This woman wasn't perfect. She was a long way from it. Four times, Wes. It's amazing to me. See, this is how we like to do things. All right. Let me introduce y'all to David Sellers. He's my deacon. He's one of our Sunday school teachers, a great man of God. Great man of God. That's how. Yeah. Aren't you glad that God don't introduce you?
Yeah.
Of what you used to be.
Amen. That's a true preacher.
Ooh. What if God introduced Wes the way Wes used to be? But every time, just about you see Rahab's name mentioned, it's Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot. I've often wondered why. Because God don't want us to forget that you ain't got to be perfect to go to heaven. Oh, I could come in here on Mother's Day and preach about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and boy, just flower it up. The Bible says she was pure. Bible says, there's nothing that we can see in the Bible that's bad about Mary. And maybe some of you ladies here, and that is how you are. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you like any of your husbands, you ain't that way. I look back and I see Miss Angie and I see Miss Geraldine, great ladies. I see Birdie, Miss Barbara, Miss Lori, great ladies. Jessica, Miss Ra, great ladies. But they're not perfect. And the problem is, Jessica, if you ain't careful, you're going to get, the devil get, think you got to be a perfect mom. Madison, Olivia, Bird, devil said, you got to be a perfect mom. Well, you ain't going to be perfect. All you need to be is saved. Because when you get saved, everything else will work out. Listen to this. Here's her status, and I'm closing with this. Three times in the New Testament, she's named. They might call her a harlot, but glory to God, her name's in there. Oh, they can call me what they want to. Adrian, but my name's in there. They can tell me how I used to be, but my name's in there. They can talk about how I used to live. Glory to God, but my name's in there. All they might know is what I used to be. But hallelujah, my name's in there. Three times in the New Testament, she is named. Why is she named in the New Testament? All right, here we go. She married one of the spies that she hid. His name was Salmon. Amen. Can you imagine that? Marrying one of the guys for that relationship kindled, and that man fell in love with her. She had a son named Boaz. Some of y'all ought to be shouting right now because y'all know the story. She had a son named Boaz who married another woman who had not so good reputation. Her name was Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 verse 20 says this, and Abinadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, which was Rahab's wife, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. King David's great, great, great grandmama was Rahab the harlot. By God, have mercy. I feel preaching now. Y'all might want to just settle down. Glory to God. Think about that. Think about that. At that time, Brother David, when she married Salmon, she did, and they had Boaz, and Boaz running around out there in the yard playing, she had no idea. Some of y'all worried to death. Some of y'all mamas is worried to death about what your child's going to be. You just raise them right, and let God take care of the rest. Amen. Great mothers aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Great mothers keep trying. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here ever heard of a lady named Rosa Hill? Rosa Hill. How about Susanna Wesley? Ain't a hand going up. What's wrong with y'all people? Don't y'all know nothing? How about Betsy Moody? Some of y'all remember hearing these last names. How about Morrow Coffee Graham? That's Billy Graham's mama. Susanna Wesley, that's John Wesley's mama. Betsy Moody, that's D.L. Moody's mama. They didn't know at 5 and 10 years old, Olivia, that they were raising some of the greatest preachers that would ever walk this earth. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. I thought about this, David. I thought about mentioning presidents' moms. But being a president is not as important as being a preacher. The president might be watching over your economy, and the president might be watching over the country, but the Bible says that preacher watches over your soul. So, Jessica, you don't know what you're raising. Madison, it's in your line. You don't know what that is. Some of you mothers, just be the mom that God wants you to be. If you'll raise them in the right way, God will take care of the rest. If you'll do what you're supposed to, you keep them in church, you keep them steadfast, you keep them nailed down, God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Somebody would have told my mama when I was 5 years old what was going to happen in my life, it probably scared her to death. But she just kept doing it right. I told you before, let me tell you something, there wasn't no question. Ryan, there wasn't no question whether I was going to church. Just like when you grew up, there wasn't no question. My God, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you might well get ready because when Daddy said go, you going.
Amen.
Amen, David? Amen. Mamas do it right. I'm going to brag on my wife just a little bit, and then I'm going to close. When I was on the highway patrol, I worked shift work. Most time I'd get off on Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning, I'd come in, and Juwan would have the kids up. They would be getting ready for church. Just because I couldn't go didn't mean she wasn't taking them kids to church.
Amen.
Well, that's just too much struggle. That's just too hard. Oh, is it? Women been doing it forever.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
God's give you a job. Probably the most important job on the face of this earth. Just do what God told you to do. If God has entrusted you with those little kids, God must think a lot of y'all. Red, God thinks a lot of you. Christy, God thinks a lot of you. And that's why he's given you that job. Because he looked down and saw Jessica and said, Jessica can do this. He looked down and saw Madison and said, Madison's got this. Lindsay's got this. Let me ask you a question. Mom, are you living the example in front of them that God wants you to? I told somebody just a few days ago, Robert, y'all come get us a song. I told somebody just a few days ago, I was talking to this man. He's not in church anymore. He used to come to church here. He used to be faithful. And his children, I told him this. I said, your kids deserve to have the same kind of daddy that you did. Your daddy brought you to church. Your daddy was faithful to church. Your kids deserve to have the same kind of mama you did. Your kids deserve to have the same kind of daddy you did. Are you being what God called you to be this morning? God will.